I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His Word.
Thank you, Jim. The scripture that Jim just read poses an interesting question, and I'd like to know your thoughts on this. How does one prepare for the unexpected? Think about that. Or put another way, how does one prepare for something if they don't know what that something is? How do you do that? Jesus speaks of the flood that Noah dealt with. However, Noah and his family knew. God told them. But the general population had no idea. So how could they have prepared? How would you have prepared? If you saw a man building an ark in the middle of the desert, would you just automatically say, oh yeah, there's going to be a flood, or would you say the guy's a nut? How do you prepare for the unexpected? I want to read in the spring of 1981, a young man was flown into a desolate part of Africa. He wanted to take pictures. He liked natural beauty. That was his thing. So the mysteries of the tundra drew him in. He took along 500 rolls of film, several firearms, and 1,400 pounds of provisions. As the months passed, the words in his diary changed from wonder and fascination into a nightmare. In August, he wrote, "I think I should have used more foresight about arranging my departure. I'll soon find out." In November, he died in a nameless valley by a nameless lake, 225 miles northeast of Fairbanks, Alaska. An investigation revealed, though he had carefully planned his trip, he had made no provisions to be flown out. Difficult to imagine, isn't it? How could anyone be so foolish? He made every provision possible, but not for getting out of there. Some of us might say, oh, how tragic. And yet, how many people make every provision for life on earth but make no provision for their departure from this world? God has warned us there is life after death. As God warned the nation of Israel to prepare to meet God in Amos 4:12, so He warns, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face God, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation. And that's from Hebrews 9:27. In our scripture, this is not a passage to strike fear in your hearts, but to ask a simple question. Are you prepared to meet God? Have we lived our lives in such a way we can stand before God and say, yes, Lord, I have lived my life in a faithful way. I stand before you a good and faithful servant, just like Paul. In expecting the unexpected, we must not only plan carefully for every possible situation we can think of and have all the necessary provisions such as knowledge, understanding, and willingness to serve, but we must have an awareness. That is, be awake to how we can serve and who we can serve. So when Jesus talks about not being prepared, are we prepared to serve God? And in so doing, when we meet God, are we able to stand before God and say, yes, we did everything we could to serve you? Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. How many of us who have raised children can say we were prepared for every issue and event that occurred in their upbringing? Especially when they became teenagers. Truth is, there is no possible way to be prepared for every issue, every event that occurs with children. The same is true in life. But spiritually, you can. And Jesus is talking about our spirit. It just isn't going to happen unless we dedicate ourselves to serving God. However, if we are devoted parents, if we work to not only prepare ourselves as much as possible, but prepare our children for life, then we are doing or have done as much as possible. This is what Jesus refers to. Prepare as much as possible as you can spiritually through your prayers, through your service. When you see someone in need, do you go and help that person like Jesus did? Do you pray for that person like Jesus did? Notice in our scripture, there are two in every scenario Jesus gives after his opening. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, one will be left. So with that said, let's break down the Noah story down to two. We have Noah and his family. That's one. Then we have all the others who were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. That's two. Of the two, one was taken, the other was left. Same story, little twist. But Noah and his family, they get on the ark and they go away, but everyone else does not. Why? Because they weren't preparing themselves spiritually. They weren't even trying. What is notable about this story, not to embarrass anyone, but who has read or recently read the story of Noah? If you've read it recently, what stands out to you in the story of Noah? Now, don't just quote what you've seen in movies. I know some of you like to watch movies. And please keep in mind, Noah was 500 years old when he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and over 500 years old when God calls him to build the ark. And he was 600 when the flood came. We can pretty much go with it took him a long time to build that ark. Now, we aren't told exactly how long it took Noah to build the ark. As I said, they don't give that, but we do know it took quite some time. So much time, in fact, that everyone knew the ark was being built and were making fun of Noah, teasing him and his family. In other words, in that sense, everyone was forewarned of the coming flood, but no one believed and therefore did not prepare. And if you don't believe, you don't prepare. And if you don't believe that your spiritual life matters, then you're not going to take care of your spiritual life. And so one was taken and the other was left. We have Scripture, most especially the Gospels. That is the closest thing to firsthand knowledge of what Jesus taught, what he has told us to do to prepare for our departure. Nowhere in Scripture do we have the sayings of Jesus, The question is, do we choose to take heed? Nowhere in Scripture do we have a saying where Jesus says you don't have to prepare spiritually. But everywhere in Scripture, Jesus tells us how to prepare ourselves spiritually. Helping the needy. Healing. Visiting. You remember the Sermon on the Mount? It's kind of like a laundry list. The question is, do we choose to take heed like the people in Noah's time didn't, or do we listen? Are we eating and drinking and having a good time and we say, we'll take care of our spiritual life later? Again, this is not about condemnation. It's about leading a nation. Think about that. A nation of believers. And guess what? We're all called to be leaders of that nation. Preparing ourselves and others so we have no regrets, nothing left undone in terms of being a faithful follower of Christ. While at Bright Divinity School, I was in a philosophy class which had a discussion about the existence of God. The professor presented the following logic. This is a true story, by the way. Has anyone in this class heard God? Nobody spoke. Has anyone in this class touched God? Again, nobody said a word. Has anyone in this class seen God? When nobody spoke for the third time, he simply stated, then there is no God. Now keep in mind, he's teaching. One of my classmates thought for a second and then asked for permission to reply. Curious to hear this bold student's response, the professor granted it. And the student stood up and asked the following questions of his classmates. Has anyone in this class heard our professor's brain? There was silence. Has anyone in this class touched our professor's brain? Silence. Has anyone in this class seen our professor's brain? Again, there was silence. When nobody in the class dared to speak, the student concluded that according to our professor's logic, it must be true that our professor has no brain. Now, I didn't realize they'd staged this. It was set up before we ever went in. But those kind of arguments don't fly. And that was the gist of this philosophy lesson. There are things in this world that you can't see. You can't see spiritual things. That doesn't mean they're not there. By the way, that person got an A in the class. I think it was more for just going along. We found later, as I said, the whole thing was staged. It was very effective in teaching about faith. Equally, it taught us to be prepared for the unexpected. We did not expect our professor or that student to stage this. Absolutely no one expected in this particular class and with this particular professor that he would even do anything like that. He was always so serious. His class was very stoic and straightforward. When he was in there, it just, we do this and we do that. So we were totally taken by surprise. So Jesus says, keep awake therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready for the Son of Man, spiritual. Be ready. Matthew's message in presenting this message is unbelievably profound in that we oftentimes read that and we think about thieves and people coming and doing things and we think of the apocalypse. Do you? You know, left behind, all of that. Oh, watch out. But what he's telling us is to prepare spiritually. Prepare yourself spiritually. Bad things happen in this world. We know that. We've lost some people unexpectedly, but spiritually, are we prepared? We have Scripture to teach and guide us. You've seen or heard from the saints who have gone before us. As Joan was talking, there are people who have set examples for us in how to grow a church, how to maintain a church, how to keep ministry going. We have those saints who have gone before us. And that is a spiritual understanding, to understand that these people were prepared. Prepared. Therefore, keep awake. Understand, he says, if the owner, that would be us, we're the owners, of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Three questions just for you. Do you believe you are prepared for your departure? Do you believe you will be the one taken or the one left? And have you read or are you reading what our Lord and Savior has taught us to do to prepare for our departure? Do you read that? After all, the first two questions depend on the third. Think about it. If you're not reading about it, how can you be prepared? If you're not reading about it, how are you going to know which one you're going to be? The progress of knowledge. The mental sign is seen first in the progress of knowledge. Man's knowledge doubles in less than 6 years. By the time many medical students graduate, much of the earlier training is already obsolete. Printed material doubles in less than 15 years. Technology, for example, has developed the laser beam, a concentration of energy and a pinpoint of light. It is now used in various forms of surgery, sometimes requiring no incision at all. Computers now exist that can assimilate all 850,000 words of the Bible five times over in 1 second. Computer chips no larger than the fingernail of a little finger can store millions, millions of items of information. There is a calculator that can make over 1 million calculations in 1 second. And who would have thought in the late 1970s we could send a spaceship 35 million miles away to Mars that would be controlled in Houston? This is the technology sophistication of the era in which we live in. Yet with all this technology, none can be read the words of Jesus for you. I don't care how much technology you have, it is not going to read the words of Jesus for you. You have to do it. You must be faithful, be aware, and learn with Him and Him alone. And you're probably thinking, well, I listened to the Bible on tape. Well, yeah, it can be read to me. It's one thing to go down the road and hear, blessed are the poor, blessed are the peacemakers, but it's a whole different story if you're reading it and understand what you're hearing and you think about it and you pray about it and you say, I want to do this. Not, yeah, that was really nice. Read it for yourself, because when you read it, you remember it. We just had that discussion with Seth. He's taking finals. Don't let your friends tell you about it. Read it. It'll stick with you. How many of us take that advice? When was the last time you picked up a Bible or on your phone or other device pulled up the Bible and read how to prepare yourself? Expect the unexpected. The only way I know to do that spiritually is to understand, to read and understand what Jesus tells us. Because He knows. He knows what we need to do. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come before You this day, we come knowing that such wonderful things happen when You're in our lives, and we ask that You continue to be there. We give You thanks for this service, the hanging of the greens, the lighting of the Advent candle as we await the celebration of Your birth. We ask that You be with this congregation, that You be with this community, that You help us to grow in Your name and to do Your work. And Lord, we give You thanks for each and every one here and those who could not be here. for it is your family. They are your children. And we ask that you hold us all in your loving arms. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.